pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. And if you're wondering, yes, I'm already back in the studio. I was at BMO Field last night. Dwayne Rollins was at BMO Field last night. And the word historical is used often in the last 24 hours, maybe a bit too much. But, you know, last night, no one can take it from us.
Kevin, did you know that the last time that the Canadian men's national team beat the U.S. men's national team was 14 hours ago? Not 1985 anymore. Yeah. 14 hours ago.
It's true, and I see the highlights in my television as we speak, and it happened. Canada, 2 goals, winning against the United States in a CONCACAF Nations League game, important game between 2 teams in the same group with Cuba, and the Canadian men's national team is now first in their group with the victory last night. First goal, Alfonso Davies. Second goal, Lucas Cavallini. We'll listen later to Jonathan David and Peter Montopoli. I actually took a second to talk to Peter Montopoli. He was all alone in the corner, contemplating everything. And I'm like, Peter, can I get a second? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, a big game last night, Dwayne. Where to start? Let's start with the lineup. Of course, it reminded me a bit of the Mexico lineup, having Horlet Cavallini on the bench, having the mentality of bringing them on late to bring an influx of energy, of power. But before the game started, we were all wondering what the actual formation would be.
Yeah, they sort of played a very tight formation and gave the U.S. the wings, which I don't think any of us predicted they would do something like that heading into this. They allowed the U.S. some room out there with the idea that they were going to sort of take away their ability to dictate pace from the center. So I don't know what exactly you would call that formation, but it was sort of like a 4-2-2-2 sort of thing, right? I think that works. Anyway, there was a lot of squares in there. A double pivot, I think, was put in there. Marc-Anthony Kaye, of course, goes off very early, and that's unfortunate for him and for LAFC, But nonetheless, the system just sort of worked to take anything out of the U.S. who was determined to play the style that Greg Berhalter wants to play. And look, if you want to, before we go any further here, folks, if you're tuning in to hear a breakdown of the U.S. men's national team, we'll add a little bit in here. There's lots of people venting about out of there. We're in Canada. We're going to talk about the Canadians. They completely shut this team down last night, because here's the thing, Kevin. You mentioned, you know, we joked off the top, first win since 1985. All that sort of stuff. It was not just a win. It was an absolute deserved dominant performance in my mind. The U.S. had nothing on the night outside of that one opportunity in the second half where Boyan made the big save on the point-blank shot. Other than that, the U.S. lacked ideas. As far as I could tell, they didn't seem to be able to break Canada down in any real way, and they could not take advantage of the space that they gave them on the wings. And that, you know, that bodes poorly for them moving forward, but you know, nonetheless.
Dwayne, it kind of reminded me of a Craig Berhalter team.
Well, yeah. So. He's very systematic, right? The way he wants to do things. And sorry, I said I was going to talk about Canada.
No one's going to give the credit to Canada. So we're going to give the credit to Canada today for sure. You mentioned a dominant performance, and it all started, of course, you mentioned a big save by Milan Borjan, and if you want to listen to Milan Borjan, I'm going to plug here the Two Solitude Soccer podcast, which just came out early this morning. I had audio from last night from Peter Montopoli, Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, also Kamal Miller, Lucas Cavallini, John Herdman, Milan Borjan, and Greg Berhalter. For patrons, you have access right now to this show. But he mentioned Milan Borjan, how the influx of energy, positivity, and a different type of football was brought by John Herdman. And that's what we've seen last night. I wrote an article last night, fresh off the press box, Dwayne, saying, look, Canada played the way they played today's game. They played today's tactics. High pressed, fouling, stopping the momentum of the U.S., not being able the U.S. to transition, because Canada was there to stop that transition. And there's one player that did get the credit on air, the American side and Canada side, of course, that is a specialty in Major League Soccer to stop that transition. And I'm talking about Samuel Piette. Samuel Piette, an amazing performance last night with a teammate, a colleague, the player next to him in the formation Canada was playing, being injured 5 minutes in. He had to adjust to a young, not a rookie, but a very young Canadian men's national team player. It was his first game, thrown to the lion's mouth. And he reacted well, but Samuel Piette deserves a lot of credit for Frazier's performance, yes, but for his great performance last night.
No, Piette for sure was very strong today. That's we were talking after the game with a lot of long-term fans, and he was who I gave the nod as the best player, the man of the match in my mind. Some other people said Steve Vittoria, who also had a very strong game for sure. The spine, just in general, was very efficient at what they were doing. I mean, we talked at length over the past few months about how fragile Canada was defensively. So, you know, we're obviously very excited about the goals and the production, the offense, and how dangerous they looked. Like a clean sheet. They got a clean sheet, and a lot of that came
from defenders.
The ability to clock things up in the middle, and that was Sammy Piette. A lot of that was on him, for sure.
Yeah, well, Kamal Miller played amazingly last night for Canada. Steven Vittoria, you just mentioned it, and John Herdman mentioned it after the game, saying he's having a resurgence in his career. Yes, the way he's surrounded helps, but last night, Steven Vittoria probably played his best game for Canada in his career. His consistency last night, I think, was the key. They felt confident, right? There was like only one or two moments where I was like, oh, an aerial ball. Like usually Canada on set pieces were like, yeah, we're biting our nails even before the ball is hit. This time around, there was an organization. There was a confidence. There was swagger from Canada on set pieces, on duels, on battles. 50-50 balls were mostly won by Canadian players last night, from defenders to midfielders to the high press of Jonathan David. Jonathan David had more responsibility up top last night than Alphonso Davies. Alphonso Davies had a little bit more of a free electron type of role, with Jonathan David making that press and using this space and the freedom that comes off of Davies to make sure that they stay in a good shape. But from the high press that I was saying, to the midfield, to the 50-50 balls winning, it was all Canada.
No, for sure. You know, steel hockey term, the compete level was definitely in Canada's favor last night. It was very clear quickly which team out there had a little more desire in the night. And that probably had to do with the desperation of Canada needing the points from that game, 17.6, in case you were wondering. That's a nice little movement in the rankings, and I think probably puts them sixth. Probably, we'll see.
For now.
Once they come out and be official.
Yeah,
I can't say enough. Actually, it really was a very, very good performance by Canada overall. They could have had three or four more of the goals, too. Hit the post. David's opportunity in the first half, which, oh my God, that was so sad watching that slide back. That's your far.
Literally inches wide left, and he did this another miss wide right later on. Those are two expected goals. Canada should have had a 2-0 lead heading into halftime in the locker room, and just in the expected goal column. So yeah, it was something that we rarely see. Canada attacking the United States, Canada not having an inferiority complex, Canada not having the burden of years of shortcomings of a program, a new generation, the rite of passage, the first test, not only for the players, but for John Herdman. And that's where I want to go now with you, Dwayne. John Herdman was criticized last summer. The game against Mexico had Hoilett Cavallini on the bench. And also the game against Haiti was managed a bit differently. And there was a lot of criticism coming off of the Gold Cup. When we saw the lineup yesterday, Hoilett Cavallini on the bench, with Marc-Anthony Kay being injured early, all the ingredients were there for having a tough game in the game management department. John Herdman passed the test last night. John Herdman and the national team turned a corner last night.
Yeah, look, it's hard to argue against Herdman having one of his better performances as a manager. As if our friend Jonathan were on here right now, Jonathan Tanwell, he would be quick to point out it was the first time that John Herdman has beaten the United States in a game. So he now longer no
Wow.
longer we
Oh,
no longer have to hear
wow.
Jonathan tell us that. So there you go.
That's true, but no, continue, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the Frazier, the sub of Frazier, who is a bit player at TFC. So like, this is not a guy that really you would think of as you'd be scared, like, and you were scared when he was put in, excuse me, when he was put in last night, that he wouldn't be able to rise his game up to an international level. But I think it's a testament to the system and the preparation that they had that a player that of like that clearly is a step below where what you're replacing. Clearly, not even a step below, he's 10 steps below, right? But he stepped in and he was able to do a job, play his role, and contribute to that game. Contribute to that game with a pass that started to set up the winning goal too, right? So he had a great game that way, and I think that's a testament again to the preparation that went into this game. It John Herdman deserves credit for the win last night. I'm still not going to be ready to create parades for him and days of celebration in the country or something. But nonetheless, it was a good day for him for
Yeah.
sure. And it was a good day for Canadian soccer. It's like, are they back on the map? As yes and no.
Wait, well,
Yes.
wait, we'll get there in a second. Just because
Yeah.
the clip makes a lot of sense with what you're saying. It's Jonathan David, and in his answer, he actually talks about John Herdman and gives us a little insight of maybe how it is to be in the Canadian men's national team locker room.
How does it feel, Jonathan?
Oh, feels good, you know. This is the first time in 35 years, so obviously this is an amazing feeling, and I feel like this is a new Canada, and looking forward to the future.
En français, la même chose?
On dire la même chose.
Comment ça, comment qu'on sent après une victoire avec les États-Unis?
C'est sûr, c'est une belle victoire parce qu'il y a longtemps qu'on les a pas battus, et franchement, je trouve que ça c'est la nouvelle génération du Canada, et on a juste à continuer ces façons pour voir qu'est-ce que l'avenir nous réserve.
Jonathan, what does this say about your coach tonight? That obviously was he set up the system, and obviously Greg Berhalter said that your team wanted it more. What does it say about John that the way they set you up?
John, this guy knows what he's doing. That's what I can say because he has a tactic for every game, and this game, obviously, we played it different than Cuba, so you can see that. So I think he's a tactician, and he got his game plan, and when we follow, we get the result.
How much fun did you have playing up front with Alfonso?
Well, it was fun. It was maybe the first time, but he's also on the wing, but this time we're a bit closer together, so it was good. I'm looking forward to the future.
Speaking of the future, there's a game in November in Orlando against the U.S. You got that win. You feel like you've got the upper hand now on them?
Oh, I wouldn't say we got the upper hand because obviously they know that today they face a strong Canada. So I know they're gonna go back and say they can't let this happen again. So obviously in November they're gonna come out hungrier, harder, and we have to be ready for that.
So we're learning that from a player perspective, they view John Herdman as a tactician, which is, for me, which was last night, a surprise, a pleasant one, and a hopeful one too, looking at the next few years of this team. If the coaching staff grows at the same rate as the players do right now, sky's the limit, Dwayne, and that those are the words literally of Peter Montopoli.
No, for sure. Look, I mean, what's nice to hear about that? Well, our worry when John Herdman was hired, to be blunt, was that they wouldn't take him seriously. And I had concerns about that because John Herdman is a very rah-rah kind of guy. And I didn't know if that would translate into the men's professional game because the women's game is a little different. The women's game has a lot of need to bring people together and create a cohesive group. And the men's game is a little more driven by ego and results and all that sort of stuff. But clearly, by hearing that, they're buying into what he's selling. They're respecting him, and that's the important thing, because no one will ever accuse John Herdman of being underprepared. He has always been a diligent guy that will spend hours breaking down film. He is not a guy that's going to go in, walk out in a training pitch and teach Jonathan David how to dribble better or something. And he wasn't a professional. He's not going to be able to do that. But what he can do is sort of analyze and create tactics that will be effective for the teams that they're playing on. The other thing he does exceptionally well which we saw with the women, is he will create unity with the club, with the team. And that's not something, as a very long term Canadian men's national team observer. That's not something we've had a lot in this country. It's been a burden to players as much as a privilege in the past in this group, especially at the end. Look, I was in the South End, and I saw the celebration at the end. That emotion was real and intense at the end of the game. Like, it looked...
Osorio and Piet celebrating right next to each other just a few weeks after celebrating versus each other. Yeah, that's something that's not easy to do. It's like Real Madrid players or Barcelona players getting along with the Spain national team to a different scale, I understand.
But yeah, for sure. Yeah, for a different scale. But you're right. That was the key to Spain's emergence back in 08, 10, in that era, right? It was that they figured out how to have that unity. And this is a smaller scale, but it's important too.
Well, you mentioned unity, and it's something that a couple of players did mention after the game. Also, Lucas Cavallini mentioned, Lucas Cavallini, he's like, what was the speech at halftime? What was the speech of John Herdman before the game? We know he's motivational speech type of guy, so how was it? And Lucas Cavallini's like, well, he's got his speeches for every time he speaks, basically. So, of course, we had one, but it's working. And when he said that, he had a little brightness in his eye, like smiling, knowing what the game that Herdman's playing, but knowing that it's kind of working too. And that, I think, is what I mean when Canada turned a corner last night too. We'll get to Peter Montopoli because I want to use the Peter Montopoli aspect to talk about behind the scenes Canada soccer, which might be turning a corner too. We'll get there. But Alphonso Davies last night maybe played his best game as a professional player. The way he attacked, the way he was free. And John Herdman, Dwayne, mentioned that he had a conversation with Alphonso Davies at the beginning of the camp last week, looking at videos of him back at his beginning with the Whitecaps and looking at his freedom that he had, how he used to play, using the same words as Herdman, when he used to be kicked, he used to get up and get on with it and just attack and trying to run and not necessarily... like dwell and like massage where it hurts and trying to get the foul, you know. So there was a lot of purity in his game, and we saw that purity shine through once again last night.
He was clearly the most talented player on the pitch. You know, we talk a lot about the fellow on the American side, Christian Pulisic, and he gets a lot of press. But I know what. Yeah, well, the guy with the flu. I hope for his sake and for the American national team fans' sake that he did have the flu, because that was not an impressive performance at all. Because what I was about to say is that I know which phenomenon, like young phenom, I'd want now if I had to pick one of the two. It wasn't close last night. It was Alphonso Davies clearly showed that he was not just the best player on that field last night. He's among the best young players in the world. And he was nominated yesterday for the Golden Boy Award, FIFA-wide, the top 20 teenagers in world football. So there's no argument for me, having watched him right in front of me last night.
And, before the game, I'm going to say, hey, Jonathan David should be on that list. And after the game, I'm like, oh, Alphonso Davies, it's all good, perfect, he deserves to be there.
I was being a bit facetious when I made that tweet yesterday about how the best Canadian teenager isn't on there. But yeah, it's kind of a nice thing when you can have that, you know, even a slight discussion on that when you have another player that's definitely very skilled. But yeah, Alphonso Davies plays for Bayern Munich, people. I know he doesn't play a lot, but he's still with Bayern Munich. And that's the other thing I'll say right now, is there's been so much talk and so many people trying to desperately wanting him to go out on loan. Stay where you are, Alphonso. The development is clear. The training with those players, those world-class world best players, is absolutely making him a much better player than he was a year ago. I don't want him anywhere near alone. He's doing the right thing where he is now, and last night demonstrated that to me in spades. Hopefully he gets more time with Bayern, not that but said,
he's,
but still.
He's so young, though, still. Like, even for Bayern Munich and for European standards, he's a young player. Like, we're not talking about a young player in North American perspective with like 23 years old, which is a veteran in Europe. No, we're talking about a young player who's doing the right thing. Of course, there's little things here and there, like a flight to Paris and the lateness and the $30,000 fine. But guess what? He's going to learn really quickly with that type of fine.
Who at 19 wouldn't have flown to Paris and spent 35,000 euros to see his girlfriend? Come on.
if I was Alphonso Davies, never mind even half of his contract with Bayern Munich at 19, I'm not here today. At 20, I'm in a gutter somewhere, probably.
No, fair enough. I think he learned his lesson too. He's a very, I saw him at Footy Talks on Friday, like heard him talk at length, and it's pretty clear as well that he's very confident and articulate as too, and that's important because he's going to be the face of the program for years to come.
I asked him last night because there was one moment in the game where he's literally one-on-one, 1v1 with Pulisic. Pulisic is tracking back, trying to defend the pressure of Alphonso Davies with the ball. And Alphonso Davies just takes him, folds in about 10, put him in his pocket, and he stayed there for a long time. So I asked Alphonso, like, what was that play? How did you feel? How does it make you feel knowing that even against a highly touted player like a Pulisic, on a one-on-one situation, you get the best of players? Like, well, I saw him tracking back to defend me, and I know I'm better than him. I'm paraphrasing. You can listen to the actual audio on our 2S shows, Two Solitudes. But he's literally saying, I know I can shake him off. And I did. And yeah, so it shows that confidence that you just alluded to it.
Absolutely. And again, like to go back to a theme, I think, of how this is going to be perceived in the United States, it's all going to be about the failings of the U.S. He's still not going to get the credit he deserves. As I say, just to reiterate this one more time, and I'm going to say this clearly for our American listeners out there, the best young player in the region, or at least we'll argue there might be some Mexicans out there. For sure, there are a couple of Mexicans getting this conversation. But that's just limited to Canada and the United States. The best young player, maybe the best player, period, by far, is Alphonso Davies. It's not Pulisic. And it's just not. And last night showed that in my mind. Call that controversial if you want. But to me, he's just a dynamic star that can absolutely bring this program up to another level. It allows Canada to play a system like they did last night because they don't need to flood forward in a way that maybe they had to do in the past to create goals because you got two kids on the wings that can beat people one-on-one. Davies did that play in the first half where he just did one turn and dribble and suddenly he's creating a chance out of nothing from the corner and right in front of the South End fans, and it was just so much skill. Trust me, the most skill I've ever seen in front of me, and I watched
a lot of games on BMO Field.
Watched a lot of games. You know, there was moments Cervenko did stuff. Let's not kid ourselves. No, yeah, but in terms of a young Canadian, absolutely.
No, and I want to finish the show with talking about the defenders, the defense performance last night, and Peter Montopoli. But just before that, I want to go back to Lucas Cavallini and Junior Hollet being on the bench, accepting their roles last night. And one sub in, like Davies had just scored. Like he literally had just scored minutes before. And he gets subbed off. And the same for Jonathan David for two young veterans, but veterans nonetheless, in Lucas Cavallini and Junior Hollet. As soon as they were brought onto the pitch, they continued. They pressed. Canada literally pressed like the high press, today's most favorite way to play for coaches, I guess, right now, today's game. And we were never in today's game with Canada. We were always behind. But anyways, somewhere I was going. Just with Cavallini and Hoylett being able to be influential into the game, having a bench that has threats on it, that is a great like little sticker in the notebook of the national team program. From John Herdman to Mauro Biello to Jason DeVos to other people in the soccer side of things, to being able to get that depth that Canada did not have a few years ago.
Yeah, no. Well, the other thing it does too, by bringing Cavallini in, you're slightly changing the look and the feel that you're giving the U.S. too. Suddenly you've got a big body to deal with and you're tired because you've been chasing down really fast guys for a long time. And it's not like you're putting a slog on a Junior Hollet. I was in Premier League last year. Yes. So it's,
and he's playing with Arfield now, right? He's in he's in Rangers. No, he's QPR Rangers. No, I think
he's still in the championship. He's in championship, but QPR. It's only because he was relegated, right? Like, I mean, these are talented guys. They're guys that would be on the U.S. team. You know, the talent level. I was reluctant as a Canadian, long-term Canadian national team observer and fan, to say that I thought Canada had equatable talent to the U.S. I, like many people, would always caveat the previews of this game with the U.S. is still better. I'm not Still think maybe overall talent, yes, for sure. But best 11 versus best 11, you know, I'm revising that 7 out of 10 with two draws prediction. It's more like 5 and 5 now. The talent level is equatable in the best 11. The depth is different. If this was a league, the U.S. wins. If it's a World Cup qualifying game in the Hex, knock on wood, pray to whatever god you want to, hope it happens. It's 50-50, and Canada's a slight edge at home. I mean, that was a real eye-opener last night for I think, the American. Well, the Americans, if you're a thoughtful American, you probably are someone that's listening to us, because you're open to hearing our side of it, right? If you're an angry American outlaw, you're screaming at the clouds. That's fine. Do that. You're entitled. But those that are listening to us, I think it probably was an eye-opener that, yeah, this team, this isn't your daddy's Canada, because it's been 35 years, so we'll go with your dad's Canada anymore, right? Like, this is a team that absolutely should be in the Hex, and I think, fingers crossed, that as of right now, they would be. So the game in November becomes huge. Huge for a couple reasons. I would take a draw down there for sure, because a draw would put us through. Obviously, they'd win the group with the draw. And having the option to play two more games potentially in the spring at the 0.25 multiplier, I think, would be the difference between, you know, because no other team's doing that at that point.
Yeah,
so they have an absolute advantage over the teams around them if they're playing those two games. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal to win this group. And, you know, that said, also, just look, I'm also beginning to get excited by the very idea that they could win this group, which would mean that they are suddenly in the final four of the Nations League. And it's a competition on its own. And when was the last time Canada was that? Well, I know the last time Canada was in the final four of a competition. That was the time Atiba was onside.
That
was 10 years ago.
Oh, no, 2008. Yeah, that was 2008 Gold Cup. But it's true. And that program has come a long way. And I was chatting with people in the know this morning, and they want to stress to me that it's a new era of Canadian soccer, not only for the players, not only for the staff, meticulous staff, by the way, but it is also for administrators. And a certain level of standard is not only for the soccer operations, but apparently now it will be also for the front office side. And that's a positive for the future. There's a lot of improvement that were needed over the years with Canada soccer behind the scenes, and hopefully the direction that the team seems to be taking on the field carries the program nationally off the field as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and everything has to work. And, you know, a lot of people out there, the whole sack the CSA stuff, obviously there are frustrations within how the system in general works in this country, as there is in the United States. But that doesn't mean that there aren't good people working in the system. And I've always said that. And I think the closer you get to the system, the closer you see it. The problems are more systemic than they are about individuals not, you know, being lazy or something, which is often what gets said.
Which is stupid. People are trying to do their best at every level. And sometimes it's out of their hands too. Well, speaking of people at high level, let's talk for a second to Secretary General of Canada Soccer, Peter Montopoli, after the game last night. With Peter Montopoli. Peter, how does it feel?
Well, it feels fantastic. You know, it's a long time coming for the program, a long time coming for the organization, and it's a long time coming for our country. So I'm very happy for all three, because the effort's been put in to get our country back to where we feel like we deserve to be, and that's a step where we needed to take, and now the sky's the limit, really, on the men's program. You know, we've reached it on a women's side with John twice at the Olympics, and it just feels really good.
Does it feel like a rite of passage? Does it feel like a coming-of-age moment tonight?
Well, you know, I think when we brought John over and he started to review all the processes and everything, and we saw that we had a really, really young team that had the potential, and he's nurtured that over the last 2 years to get us where we needed to be for this big match, you know, and all his training sessions are purposeful. There's the methodology behind everything he does, and everybody's bought into the way we need to play. And it's not only the senior team, but it's the Olympic team that's upcoming in March, qualifier. It's U-20 team, U-17, U-15. It's a whole methodology that he's brought together, and it's the right methodology to get us to where we believe we need to be within CONCACAF.
Thank you very much, Peter. Congratulations once again.
So here we go, Dwayne. Methodology, standard, a streamlined way to do things. Those are all things that we've been clamoring for years. And at the highest level of Canada soccer, they're trying to implement the same things that we were talking about.
Yeah, and look, the proof will be in the pudding, obviously, for those cynics listening out there. You know, it's one thing for Peter to say that. It's another thing for it to work. That said, he mentioned the Olympic team in that. I think there's a really good chance that that Olympic team can, at the very least, play in a game that would put them in the Olympics, which they have done two of the last three cycles. So I think that they, for sure, especially with the Canadian Premier League players adding a different level of professionalism on that program now, which will, I believe, put them in good standing come that tournament, which was supposed to be now, but they moved it to the sprint, in case you don't know. I mentioned the under-17s, which start their World Cup in about 10 days. And we'll have coverage of that on the Two Solitudes podcast. So,
well, and we had a goalkeeper for Canada, Ben Collins, on the show last week on Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast.
Exactly. So there is lots to look forward to. But, you know, it all starts at the top. It really does. It is the program that's going to drive the interest, and that's really where I want to kind of focus on as we wrap, is that, yes, the number could have been bigger in the stadium last night. I know there are people out there that are going to scream about the attendance number, although 17,000 was not that bad at the ticket prices they were charging.
No, exactly. I was there when Dominica played in a few years ago, and that was bad.
Yeah, but I was in the front rows during TFC's MLS Cup win. When Canada scored that second goal last night, with half of the amount of people in that stadium, it was almost as loud. And in the South End, it was absolutely as bonkers as it was during those goals in that MLS Cup run. And I think that says something about those that are bought in, that have bought in, are excited by this group. And we went back. I had a drink after the game with friends, and we're looking up. TSN Sports Center led with it. They led with it. And that's not something that happens very often, particularly when it wasn't a game that they even were willing to show. So
specifically,
come a month from now.
Specifically when they have to show highlights of a competitor with the big branding of the competitor on the top right of the screen to lead the show. Yeah, you're right.
And look, they gained, you know, if you came to your first Canada game last night, you're coming back to another one. It was a good time. It was lively in the stands. It was loud. It was, you know, they won. It was a good game for the good guys. You know, if you're a U.S. fan, maybe you don't want to. And God bless the 200 of those that came up, because it's not a good time to be a U.S. men's national fan right now, for sure.
Oh, the pessimism, Dwayne. The pessimism in the press box on the American side. I'm not going to name names because it's not the point, but having conversations with a few prominent American journalists last night, the pessimism was there. They were predicting a loss to the United States, while I was being, I guess, realistic in my mind, but maybe I was just being a bit more careful. And that's what happens when you got burned before. You're just careful when you touched water the time after. But yeah, no, the pessimism was big. And if you want to feel good about your personal life right now, just go to hashtag USMNT and have fun.
Yeah, and we'll probably talk about the U.S. tomorrow specifically. I think we both felt that today should be about the team that won. As I tweeted last night, you know, the U.S. did not lose this game. Canada won it. And I think that's an important thing for us to acknowledge. And obviously, as a show that covers the U.S. men's national team as well, we will probably, I'll try to book a guest and we'll have a conversation about them in more detail tomorrow. But there's plenty of places to vent right now if you want. I've already listened to two podcasts that have. So there you go. But it was a great night. Look, 1985 was a long time ago. And it was about time, because there's too often there have been false hopes, false dawns for this Canadian men's national team. But this just seems real because they're young. And there's a passion and a belief and a desire that has never been there in the time that I have watched this. Yes, I technically watched the World Cup team. I don't really remember it. I know that I watched it. That's what I remember. So I don't know about that team. I can't speak to it. But any team since then has never had the belief. There has always been this sort of pessimism, this reluctance, I guess, with the players that really came through. And look, as I said, when they were celebrating in front of, the way they celebrated the goals last night, the way they celebrated in front of the Voyageurs at the end of the game, that is, they want to play for each other. They want to, they're grabbing the flag, the badge the whole time too. They want to play for the country. This is a different Canada team. Does that mean they're going to Qatar? Look, there's a long way to go to that.
Yeah, we're not there yet. And it doesn't serve any purpose to kibosh the celebration right now by thinking about the future. Let's just enjoy last night for what last night was. And, you know, you mentioned the crop of players coming in over and playing for the badge, players that before, a few years ago, like Scott Arfield, were not necessarily thinking of Canada as something in their immediate future. And now it is, and it's a important thing, and they're taking the calls. Milan Borjan have seen his fair share of ups and downs with the national team over the last decade, and last night was a pillar moment in his career. He mentioned the
exactly. And quickly, how the hell did Scotland not call Scott Arfield up? Anyway, that's a completely different topic. But
I don't know. And Scott Arfield might be the most important step that happened over the last 2 years to where we are now. The Ballou thing was fun when it happened. We're all surprised. Of course, we knew Davies was going to play for Canada. Like, really? Liberia? No, I don't think so. So we kind of knew. And Junior Hoilett, we were happy. And Lucas Cavallini and others. But the Scott Arfield, the conversation that must have happened between Canada and Scott Arfield, and the selling of the future of this program when there was no evidence of what this program could be, for him to accept not only to play for a national team, but to accept a lot of travels, to accept your schedule to be a lot more busy. And it's family time that you're going to miss. And it's time with your hobbies and your life outside of soccer that you're sacrificing to cross the pond, which is the Atlantic Ocean, once every couple months to represent your country in tactical games that are not necessarily played in the best of circumstances sometimes down there in CONCACAF, in the Central and America and the Caribbean. So we have to give our congratulations to players like Milan Borjan, Scott Arfield, Junior Hoilett, Alfonso Davies now, players that did not have to commit but decided to commit and go all in with this program, which yielded the result of last night.
Yeah, you mentioned Arfield. He doesn't get talked about enough. He's a very effective player in a quiet way out there. He does good things, no doubt, and he's had moments that shine. But his role is more of a support role in a lot of ways, right? And this is a guy that's so important because, look, Canada has buckled under the pressure many times in the past. We all know this. Scott Arfield is used to pressure. He plays in Old Firm derbies. When he was at the Friday event that I've talked about a few times the last couple of days, they couldn't even announce that he was going to be there out of fear that there would be like Celtic fans that would show up, right? And like just to yell at him. That's the type of pressure that he deals with even when he's here. It's probably a little over the top to blanket that way. But
still, it's just an example.
Yeah, you know, he was a special surprise guest. They wanted to avoid that. So, you know, is he really going to be scared of Panama? Probably not. You know, it's
Davies,
you know,
is not scared of anyone. He's just going to run by them. Like, so it's here. Let me just get free of the burden of past shortcomings of this program. This program will go to new heights, and I truly believe that.
Fair enough. I guess my final word, this will be my final word. I made a tweet last night where I asked, all I want as a Canadian fan and why I'm so angry about the format that they chose is an opportunity to defeat our past. And we're not completely defeated it yet, but I think last night was a big, big, it was like a big goal in that game against our past. And they're almost there. Canada deserves an opportunity to defeat its past and to move forward.
Yeah.
And we need to stop talking about the past in a lot of ways. We know what happened in San Pedro Sula. We don't need to bring it up anymore. No. It's history now.
Well, I kind of want to play there.
We're talking about.
I kind of hope that this national team gets a chance to play Honduras, at San Pedro Sula, in a World Cup qualifying game, with a lot on stakes, and a lot of things that would be more important for a Canadian fan, is to finally put that dreadful 8-1 behind us. And last night, maybe is a step towards that too.
Yeah, and look, the U.S. is struggling, no doubt, but they're still a powerhouse in this region historically. So to get a win, dominant win, the performance was every bit as important as the win. Well, no, it wasn't. There were 17.6 points that they gained for that, so the win was more important. But the performance mattered too. We could go on for 3 hours, and hell, I've already talked about this game for about 6 hours, both, you know, online and with people, and now with you. So we'll like I said, we'll try to focus on the U.S. side of things tomorrow, I think. But I think today, as you said earlier, just enjoy this, because it's not, there haven't been a lot of good moments as a Canadian men's national team fan. There really haven't. It's been a lot of like burden and frustration over the years. And last night was like, it felt, you know, I was hanging out with a lot of the older guys after the game, and it was, yeah, we live to see it type stuff. It was the conversations, and it's nice. And here we are, and we'll enjoy the day. That's, go out. If you're a Canadian fan listening to this, just pet your dog, hug your kids, enjoy the day, be happy. Lots of work to do, but enjoy the victory. It was a rare one, and hopefully there's more to come.
Hopefully it's the first of many. On that note, make sure you follow us on social media at Soccer Today SPN Live, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, with the world of football with a soccer perspective. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, and myself at Kev Larame, podcast version of this show available at sportspodcastingnetwork.com and anywhere you get your podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more of Soccer Today. You can find the post-game audio from last night's victory of the Canadian Men's National Team on our Patreon feed on the Two Sawtooth Soccer Podcast. Patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to last night's audio. But until tomorrow, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.